Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Hey there, driven women. You know, if you have a business, whether it's online or brick and mortar, you need to market. It's a fact of life because marketing means you have a steady stream of potential customers or clients. And unless you have a bunch of money to throw at advertising, marketing means content creation, whether it's a blog, a YouTube channel, or a podcast like this one. But most entrepreneurs and small business owners struggle with creating content because they don't have time. There's so many platforms, they don't know which one to choose. They don't know what kind of content to create. They don't consider themselves writers or speakers or performers, and they have trouble being consistent. Hello, ADHD. So I have invited the perfect guest to take the frustration out of content creation. My guest is coach and business development whiz, Jen Liddy. Jen is a former teacher turned entrepreneur, so she knows how to break things down in a way that just makes sense. And what makes sense gets done. So you're going to want to stick with us all the way to the end so you can learn Jen's three-part strategy to eliminating your content creation frustration. It is so good, I use it myself. But first, one of our latest podcast reviews. This one is from Barbara 1616, who says, Diane Wingert hits the nail on the head every time with her no-nonsense podcast. She offers straight talk and insight that nurtures our drive to get things done while reminding us not to do it all. Topics that especially resonated with me include the episodes called Productivity Doesn't Mean Getting More Done, and Just in Time versus Just in Case. Good lessons for driven women. Well, thank you, Barbara 1616, for this awesome podcast praise. And for the rest of you, there's a link in the show notes to leave your podcast review. I would love to be reading it on the next episode of The Driven Woman. And don't forget, there's also a link in the show notes for you to take our mindset quiz. I'm creating a very special series on all the mindset blocks that stop driven women before they reach their goals. So don't forget to take the quiz so we make sure we focus on your mindset blocks. So are you ready to get off the content creation treadmill, as Jen calls it? Me too. Let's go. Well, I have really been looking forward to this conversation because, as most of you know, I am now exclusively online after having had a business in the real world for quite some time. So whenever I have the opportunity to connect with other women who have made the brave, courageous choice to leave a successful career behind and venture into the uncertainty and the wild, wild westness of the internet, I can't wait to get to know them. And today, my special guest is none other than Jen Liddy, who left a career as a teacher to become an online business coach who specializes in, among other things, content creation. So what we are going to talk about today is content creation frustration and how Jen is going to make it so much easier and more comfortable for all of us. Welcome, Jen.
Well, thank you. Nice to be here.
So content creation may not be something that every person listening knows about, but for those of us who, even if we have a brick and mortar business, it's become a necessity that you have a presence online, even if you just have a single one-page website. But for those of us who actually connect with people, find customers and clients exclusively through the internet, we have to let people have a chance to get to know us first. And for those who aren't familiar,
It's usually described as the know, like, and trust factor. After all, we don't hire total strangers unless someone close to us knows them really well and recommends us. So the way we get known, liked, and trusted online is often through content creation. But even though it's two little words, it's far from simple and far from easy. And I understand being a content creator can be one of the biggest headaches in the online world. So why do you think that is? Why is it so challenging for so many people?
Well, there's so many reasons it's challenging, partly because it takes a lot of time when you're new to it. And one of the things that especially people who are in the growth phase of their business don't have is time. And so I'm already overwhelmed. I'm already overloaded. How am I now supposed to be blogging and on Instagram? And wait, I need to learn TikTok. And what about a podcast? Should I do a podcast? How about a YouTube channel? And so there's all of these plates that we're already spinning. And now content creation comes and everybody will learn that content creation is vital because you can't, like you said, you can't develop trust with people until you put some good, valuable stuff out there. Mm-hmm. But if you're, people can't really see me, but I'm putting air quotes around this. I'm not a good writer. I don't know what to say. It's already all been said before. And those
who am I and all of that. But let's start at the very, very beginning.
Okay.
When we say content creation, I think part of what hangs people up from the get-go is what type of content should I create? There are blogs, which have been around for a good little while, and they're a great way to create content. There's also podcasts. Both you and I have podcasts. There are YouTube channels. There are Facebook Lives. There are Instagram Lives. There's TikTok. And you can see, you know, do you pick one? Do you try to do all the things? You know, if you've been doing a blog, should you also add a podcast? What if you don't like the sound of your voice? What if you don't like being on camera? What if you think you're not a good writer? It's like, where do you even begin?
Are you inside the head of my clients? Because pretty much when I meet them and they have to start creating content, this is where they freak out. And so why does it feel so challenging and overwhelming? Because all of the questions you asked, and then there's this belief that I have to be doing all of the things, which is something that I really want to talk about today, because you don't have to do all the things. If you really are not somebody who likes writing, then you're never going to be able to keep up with a blog. One of the most valuable things about creating content is the consistency, showing up all the time and letting your audience see you over and over and over again in lots of different ways. So if you don't like writing and you're like, no, I have to do a blog. A blog is what my business coach told me to do. But you hate it and writing takes you hours. Then instead, get on a video on a Facebook Live and just speak to your audience, or create a YouTube channel, or get on TikTok and make 1 minute videos, right? You have to find the groove that works for you while you're trying to speak to your audience. And you don't have to do all the things. In fact, so many people, when I'm meeting them, they have a Facebook page, an Instagram page, and they're sometimes have a YouTube page. And then sometimes they have a blog and they're trying to do all of them very well. And they're kind of like, maybe they're like consistently showing up in one space, but they're not consistently showing up in another place. And maybe they've got a LinkedIn that hasn't been seen in 2.5 years. So they've got all of this stuff and it feels heavy on them. So the very first thing we do is look at what feels the most natural to you. Where do you enjoy being? Where is your audience and what's the intersection there? Right. So,
but can I say something?
Just
the C word, and this one, I'm not talking about the word. I'm talking about consistency.
Yeah.
My audience is the driven, but distracted female entrepreneurs, creatives, and independent professionals. So consistency has been their nemesis for life. Didn't feel consistent as a parent. Don't feel consistent in their business. And now they have to consistently create content, which is why I was so eager to have Jen on The Driven Woman, because I'm a content creator now. I manage to squeeze out a blog post and a podcast episode every single week. And I've been doing that for almost a year. I never, ever would have thought it was possible, but she's absolutely right. streamlining and simplifying. But, you know, what do you tell people? Because we work with a lot of the same people, I think. Mm-hmm. And they tend to be women who have come from other successful careers and are now in the online world, or they're adding an online arm to their business, or they're just wanting to learn how to use the online space to enhance their local business. But it's like, well, what if I don't know where my audience is? What if I don't have an audience? I mean, I love that you're saying we can give ourselves permission to actually choose the content platform that we would naturally enjoy doing. Because obviously, if you don't like it, you won't keep doing it, right, no matter how many people recommend it. But if you are early in the process of developing an audience, and you really, maybe you can guess at what platform you might enjoy most, but how do you know if that's where the people that you want to help can be found?
Well, this is where we're going to start talking about kind of the BS factor. There's people who may have been shooting all over you in your life saying you should be on Instagram. But Instagram maybe doesn't resonate with you. Okay, right. So let's like press pause here and actually take a look at Instagram. What are the little things in Instagram that we can start to look at? Well, is your audience there? Who is your audience? And this is a very big key. If your audience is, you know, the C-suite of a male C-suite kind of executive, is he on Instagram? You know, probably not. You really want to start to think about, who is my audience? And I know that that sounds incredibly ridiculously foundational, but so many people don't consider, who is my audience and where do they want to hang out? So if you don't know exactly who your audience is, and I'm not talking, you know, men ages 45 to 55 who work in the C-suite, I'm talking about, what is this person's personality like? Where do they like to spend time to when they are kind of trying to be offline or buffering or like just where will they go?
Everybody indulges in social media at some point. So where does this person hang out? Where do they hang out?
So the very first thing is, like, you have to know your audience. And I meet a lot of women in the online space who are trying to grow an audience, and they are saying, I can help everybody. I can work with anybody. All of the, you know, I have a client right now who is a young woman herself. She's in her late 20s. And she is trying to help other women, young women, like late teens, early 20s. Mm-hmm. And she's got this blanket statement about who that woman is. She's between 18 and 25.
Is she a life coach by any chance?
Yeah, she's a life coach. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a classic thing in coaching, because you're so eager when you first get your coach training that you literally want to help everyone and think you can. 100%. You and I know that doesn't work, but it's where most people start with coaching.
So she's really struggling with her audience because she doesn't quite know who her audience is. She knows that it's this demographic, but she's not even considering the deeper niche of this audience. Is this an audience who is going to college or is in college and about to graduate college? Is this an audience who has anxiety? Is this an audience who has anxiety and ADHD? Is this an audience who has anxiety and depression? Like, if she could just get more focused, it would be easier to use Instagram to find her audience by going into hashtags and looking exactly for where those people are hanging out on Instagram. Cause she's smart that, like, yes, they're probably on Instagram. They're not on Facebook. They're not on LinkedIn. So she's at least in the right place, but now she has to tweak it and really understand those exact people's hashtags that they're using, who they're following, and get into conversations with them online, which leads me to the next thing. This is all uncomfortable crap that we have to do. This is all about, like, reaching out to people or connecting with people or being seen and being judged. Like, all of that visibility garbage comes up. That's another reason why this is so hard, because none of us wants to be judged. And until we get cool with the fact that people are definitely 100% going to judge us, none of the content creation is going to feel easy.
Yeah. And actually, this is such a good point. I'm glad you're bringing up the mindset stuff, because it's so true. I have seen people spend an enormous amount of time creating content and then not putting any. I had a client who, I think she said she had a year's worth of blog posts all lined up. And I said, that's fantastic. How many of them have you published? Long pause. And I'm like, what's happening? Well, I'm getting ready to launch the blog. Well, you can't launch with 100. I mean, you wouldn't want to do that. But I realized this is an elaborate procrastination scheme based on perfectionism, based on fear of being judged, being seen, being known. I mean, it's like the flip side of know, like, and trust. Mm-hmm. I think we're all terrified that once they know us, they won't like us and they won't trust us. And they might even shame us online and everyone else will see it. It's like we're going back to high school and there's no way to hide.
That's right.
I'm just curious. I know this isn't specifically content creation, but you must help your clients with this or they won't be able to create content and push it out in the world.
Yeah. The first hurdle is, how do I create content? Okay. I teach you that. The second hurdle is, I'm terrified to put it out there. And so that, yes, you're dead on. Mm-hmm. It's all about your marketing mindset. And the problem is, we have all been marketed to by somebody, someone, or something that has felt really, really crappy to us. Mm-hmm. It's felt invasive. It's felt yucky. And we haven't liked it when it happens to us. So we have now taken that on and we're like, we don't want to do that to other people. We don't want to make other people feel crappy. So a lot of what I help my clients get into alignment with is, what's the purpose behind your marketing? It's okay that you want to sell. It's okay that you have a business. Yes, you should want to make money. You should be making money. And you have to do your marketing in service to others. So I teach my clients to think about marketing is not like standing up with a bullhorn and speaking to everybody. Once you know your audience and you know their problem, your content is there to help them solve their problem. There's nothing yucky about that. So every time I put something out into the world, it's speaking either to the problem that you have, because you're not the only one. And so let's talk about the problem that you have. And now let me paint for you the potential transformation if you can put some changes into place. Mm-hmm. And what I see marketing as is helping people understand the potential transformation that they can create in their own lives when they have the right solution, guide, help, whatever it is that you're offering them. And so I never see, and I mean, I struggled with this at the beginning, and I definitely had to do a lot of mindset work myself, but marketing isn't gross to me, because if you go through my content and read it, you're never going to feel like I'm pushing anything on you. You're just going to feel like, what you're going to feel like is, I've gotten inside your head and walked around a little while with a magnifying glass and just really come to understand you. That's what I want marketing to feel like for my clients.
I really like the way your content shows up, because it shows that you get people. Like, you, the way you present content and even your emails, it's like she gets it. She's walked in the same path. She's maybe a little further ahead than I am. She's not judging me. She's going to make this easier and more fun. So we've been talking about all the people that do it badly and leave that, you know, bitter aftertaste in our mouth and make us think, well, if that's how content creation looks, I want no part of it.
Exactly.
But the point is, you can do it however you choose to do it. Let's say you do decide to have a blog. It doesn't have to be a blog like any other blog. It can be as unique as you are. But what do you think some of the other myths are around content creation? I mean, we're going to keep talking about the consistency, because I know for my audience, that will be the most challenging part. Sure. You know, of course, there's the procrastination, there's the perfectionism, there's the fear of being judged, there's all of that. But consistency is a real challenge. But they have to get past these myths before they can even try to become consistent. So other than marketing is gross and people don't want to hear from you, what are some of the other myths and misunderstandings that hold people back?
There's so much good stuff. The first is that you have to teach your audience everything you know in one fell swoop. I call that fire hosing. And because the women that we work with are brilliant women who know their stuff inside and out, they have a lot to share with their audience. So what they will think is, I have to tell my audience everything. And I've seen my friends and my colleagues do it, and I wish they would just stop fire hosing.
I've done it, Jen. I have totally done it. I've seen people's eyes just
get so
big. It's like, it's overwhelming to the other person. They might be impressed with how much you know, but if they think, oh, geez, this is what it's going to be like working with her, where's the exit?
Yeah. And I also want to apologize for my dog barking in the background because the UPS man came, because of course he did. Because of course.
It's either that or the people mowing the lawns outside. So we're just going to keep going.
So what I like to do instead of fire hosing, and again, it's not that we're always trying to show people how much we know. It's that we're trying to help them with all that we have. But I want you to think about the last time you were in the car and a song came on and you liked that song, right? And then you were like, maybe there's even a better song on. So you go to the next station, you go to the next station, you go, like, you're constantly seeking the next good thing. That's what people are doing in their minds when they're reading our content. So we have to make it readable. So we need a lot of white space. We have to make it digestible. So we don't want to put 4 or 5 paragraphs. I mean, there is definitely a space for long form content, but on a social post, it has to be readable. It has to be digestible. And you don't want to give 10 steps in one blog post. Break that crap up into 10 blog or 10 social media posts. So it really has to be what I call fish food. Rather than fire hosing, fish food. And so you want to put it at the top, let your people come and take it, and they can go digest it in their little castle in the sand. And when they're ready, they'll come back for more.
I love fish food. So many people, because I hear a lot of people say, don't overwhelm people, don't fire hose them, don't give them, I just wrote down what you said. Don't try to show people how much you know. Show them how much you can help them. You said it so well, and I just couldn't write it down fast enough.
That is exactly what it is. We're not necessarily, we want to tell them all we know because we know how it can help them, but it has to be parsed out in fish food rather than in one big fire hosing blog post, video, course, or whatever it is.
I'm guessing that another myth is that it should happen quickly. Because when you're talking about the fire hosing, I'm also wondering, are people thinking if I do this an accelerated way, then people will know, like, and trust me that much faster, and I'll get clients from this faster. But I've learned that establishing yourself online actually takes years, not months and not weeks. So is that one of the other myths that you have to come up against?
I wrote that down because I wrote marathon and sprint on my notes to talk to you about today. And I think that there are a lot of gurus out there who don't do us any favors by placing the idea in our head that we should have a 6-figure business within the first 7 weeks of being a business, or even within the first year or 4 years. It took me 4 years to crack 6 figures. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I was consistent as hell. And it's easier to be consistent when you're not fire hosing people, when you don't have to, like, write a lot all the time. It's easier to be consistent when you can just kind of reuse your stuff. So if you've got, you know, a little beautiful line out of your blog, that could be one line caption on a social media post, right? So it's easier to be consistent, but it took me 4 years of consistency before I finally crossed the 6-figure line. That is a marathon. And I think there are a lot of gurus out there who are like, spend your money on Facebook ads, get in front of other people's audiences, and it can happen quickly for you, and use my funnel and use my software. And it's so hard for us to watch all of these other people who, quote unquote, have come up overnight. But go look back at their chapter one. I promise you, it has not been as meteoric of a rise as it seems to have been. I guarantee you it has been arduous and it required clarity and consistency. So yes, the fact that people think this is a sprint, because my clients ask me all the time, how can I grow my audience quickly? Like, you can either throw money at it, or time and energy at it. And in the beginning, not a lot of people have the money to throw at ads.
I really wonder, though, I mean, is it possible? Let's say someone listening, they've got their content platform. They know that, let's say it's podcasting. They love podcasting. That's easy and fun for them. And they don't have any trouble being consistent with it. But they don't have 4 years to hit 6 figures. They want to be able to walk away from their corporate job and replace their salary in a year. I hear people say this all the time. And I hate being the person to tell someone, you know, they're not going to be able to achieve their dream. But I also don't appreciate how many marketing gurus have set people up for disappointment and then they blame themselves.
Of course.
So if you can throw a lot of money at ads, can you actually create the know, like, and trust factor on an accelerated scale?
I'm not an expert in Facebook ads, and that's a really good question. I still think you need to have the chops in your content like, I think your content really has to be good for people to engage with it. And you also have to know exactly who your audience is. So remember, some of the people in your audience are completely unaware that they have a problem.
In my case, it's most of them.
Right. Yeah. And so a lot of content creators are trying to sell to that audience member. No, you've got that audience member. They're like, they're a 3-year, 4-year kind of person. They have a lot of work to do before they even know they have a problem. Mm-hmm.
Then there's so you need to cultivate that awareness.
Yeah.
One post, one YouTube, one Facebook Live at a time. Well, they may think they have a problem, but they don't have the same understanding about what the problem actually is and how to resolve it that you have from your expertise. But you have to leave the fish food a little bit at a time. Unfortunately, those people are often the ones that get really taken advantage of by marketers because they believe that there's a quick fix because they don't understand the true nature of the problem. And I know that a lot of people are fully committed to having an online business. They get started. They think if I'm everywhere at once, it'll happen faster, not sustainable.
No.
And then they'll say, this whole online business thing doesn't work. It's not true. It's just that unless you know how to clone yourself, if you do, DM me. Right. I want in on that. You have to kind of pick a lane and stick with it. And for my kind of brain and maybe yours too, that's tough too.
Right. Because for creative women, the ideas are just spinning all the time. So you can then think about, okay, there's this audience member I have. She doesn't even know she has a problem. There's like 5 different types of audience members that you have. There's a scale. There's people who are aware of their problem. There are people who are ready to take action on their problem. There are people who are ready to buy today. For example, I'm going to start a membership site and I know exactly what I want to do. So I found a guy online who has a membership site podcast. I listen to all of his podcasts. He's got a 1-month trial for his membership to learn how to do memberships. I'm like, I was like a quick start because I am very problem and solution aware. So he was speaking directly to me. So understand that all of your content is not speaking to the person who's ready to buy. And that's why for some people, it's a much longer journey in that marathon rather than it being a sprint. But if you can find those people and speak to them who are ready, aware of their problem, aware that there's a solution and ready to purchase that solution and take action on it. Because think about how many people you know, they're aware they have a problem. Yeah, but I don't really want to do anything about it, right? And so you can present them with solution, solution, solution all day long. But if they're not ready, you're wasting your breath. So this is another, you know, myth that it's all your fault or your content sucks or you don't have the right funnel. Like sometimes you're just speaking to the wrong people.
Or the right person at the wrong time.
Yes, yes. Like
before they're actually truly problem aware, solution aware, and ready to take action.
Yes.
Now, I have a question for you because as we're thinking about the consistency, and I know that this is your expertise, and in a few minutes we're going to talk about, I think, something new you have coming down the pipeline that can really help people with streamlining, simplifying, and taking a massive amount of frustration out of this. Like, are we supposed to be creating content for people at all 5 different levels of preparation? I mean, if you consider we're creating content and putting it out, because there will be people who will just consume the free content, they'll be helped by it. They may become a consistent fan of our content, but they'll never hire us. That's okay. That's the beauty of content creation. But then there will be all the other people who are at different stages of, I have a problem. This is what it is. She might be able to help me. Her solution might be able to help me. But no, I don't know. It's not that I don't have the money. I don't have the time. I'm taking so many other courses, whatever it is. How do we create content for all of those different points on the customer journey at the same time and still do it in a streamlined way? I'm already starting to feel overwhelmed. I'm overwhelming myself because I get the point that all of these different stages are necessary. And I think back over my own business journey and I can say, oh, this person wasn't ready. This person was ready, but they weren't resourced, this person, whatever. But how do you, in a simple, streamlined, frustration-free way, manage to create content consistently for all these different people on their different journeys.
I'm going to take the frustration right out of it by saying, don't create content for all of those different people. What I would love for you to
I feel better already.
Can you imagine how overwhelming it would be? So I want you to think instead, who are you holding in your mind when you create your content, when you write that call to action? So let me give you an example. At the beginning of my journey, I really, really, really wanted to work with women at the very beginning of their business journeys. They were often moms. They often had small children. They never wanted to invest in themselves. That's just because where they were on their journey. So my content, when I was writing my content at that point, I was really holding that woman in my mind, which meant a lot of my stories and focus and content was all about being a mom and not having a lot of time. And, you know, it's summer vacation and making things cheap for them. And that content was good content because it helped them, but it never converted into sales. So I made a decision. I no longer want to work with women who aren't ready to invest in themselves, who don't have the time or energy to invest in their own businesses. So I don't hold that mompreneur in my mind anymore. Instead, I hold the woman in my mind who's in the middle of her business. And she's kind of been pinged around, bing, 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 like a pinball. And she's gotten bounced around a little too much. And she's tired of running it kind of like a hobby. She's really ready to make some money. She wants to do this seriously. And she's ready to invest the time, the energy, and the funds into herself. So I just hold her in my mind when I'm creating. That means I don't talk about a lot of stuff anymore. It means I don't really talk about what it's like to have little kids or what it's like when your kids are. It just means I'm really focused on her needs. Now, the best part of this is at the same time, can that mompreneur who's really dying to do this, but at the beginning of her journey, benefit from what I have to say? Absolutely. But like my calls to action are not for her. They are for this other woman.
That makes so much sense because I have a fan of the Driven Woman podcast by the title, by the show art, by the description. And by everything about every single episode, it's very clear that this podcast is for ambitious women who are falling short of their goals. Mm-hmm. But I found out one of my biggest fans is a guy. I'm like, how'd you sneak in here? Because instead, he just really likes what I have to say and the way I say it. So you're so right. I'm not talking to him.
Right.
But he heard me anyway.
That's right. And that's why it's a target market. Like my target audience are these women, usually in midlife, usually mid business. But I got a client. She is literally at the very beginning. She knew she needed she kind of did a preemptive strike and hired me because she didn't want to have the pinball effect. Like she wanted to just sail on through.
She was smart enough to know that was coming her way and was able to sidestep it.
Exactly. Exactly.
I want to be her. That just didn't happen. Yes.
And she is cruising along, but she's not necessarily my target but everything I said resonated with her. So
yeah. And you obviously can still help her.
Of course. Yes.
So we know we only have to really be in one place and create content for one platform and be consistent, speak to one customer,
yes.
Make it simple,
repurpose,
expect that it will take a while. Don't cave in to any of those myths and misunderstandings about the six figures in 6 weeks or the it's all been said before and all of that. But if we have totally motivated, inspired, and lit a fire under somebody listening, what is one thing, even before your course is available or before they start jamming up your inbox wanting to stampede to work with you, what's something they could actually put into place today and already feel some relief from that content creation frustration?
Okay. This is my most favorite strategy. Creative women don't like this strategy because it requires them to plan a little bit, but it is a game changer. I want everybody to think about
it. I think we need to say that again.
Planning
both for me and for my
lady. Not a four-letter word. Okay, I want you to think about your audience, that woman in your audience who would be perfect, your exact right client, right? I want you to think about her or whoever it is. And I want you to think about the biggest frustration that she's got that you help her solve. Now, that could be perfectionism. It could be boundaries. It could be nutrition. It could be sugar. It could be sleep. Whatever it is, I want you to think really big. Mm-hmm. And I want you to take that and think of that as your theme for the month. I'm going to talk about how I'm a health coach, and I'm going to talk about how a lack of sleep affects everything in your life. Mm. And I want you to break down lack of sleep as your big, big, big monthly topic. And I want you to break it down into four mini topics. Week one might be your bedtime routine. Week two might be nutrition before bed. Week three might be the optimal temperature
sleep environment.
Yes, yes, yeah. You know, you want to break it down like that. So now I'm just talking about sleep all month long. And then I'm going to break it down into mini topics for each week. And then you only have to talk about that one topic for the entire week. So you could write a blog post about sleep environment, for example. And then that blog could be repurposed into social posts. You could do a Facebook Live on that blog topic. You could get on a podcast and talk about that one teeny tiny mini topic. But you only have to talk about one thing all week. Now, this is where creative women will say to me, but won't my audience get bored with me talking about sleep for an entire month?
Actually, they're not thinking about the audience getting bored. They're thinking about being bored themselves, because I know.
That is it.
Yeah, the creative ones, it's like you and I know, we've talked about this, Jen, that you have more ideas than you shake a stick at. And the best idea is always the one that's coming next, because of course it's the newest, it's the shiniest, and it hasn't been sullied by experience.
That's right.
So the discipline and the focus and the commitment, the planning and the, I get that, but to be able to say, I'm only going to talk about this one thing in all my podcast episodes, in all my emails, in all my social medias for a whole month.
Now, they'll tell themselves that it's their audience who will get bored, but I agree with you 100%. The problem is you get bored with your own stuff before anybody else will. So it is a discipline. But if you want it to be easier for your audience, the bottom line is when you're creating content, it's not for you. Your business is not for you. Your business is for your audience. And if you want to make content creation easier, start thinking about your audience. Who is she? What does she need? What's her problem? What's the transformation? Speak to that. And then if you want her to stay with you, stop slapping together. Like today I'm going to talk about sleep, and tomorrow I'm going to talk about granola. And then tomorrow I'm going to talk about, you know, sex with your husband. Like it has to be focused enough for them to absorb it, because think about how many points of contact we need to really absorb something in our own brains. So distracted.
Repetition, repetition, repetition.
Yes. And so you're going to get bored with your content before your audience will. But if you heard what I'm saying, I'm not saying you have to write 5 blog posts about your sleep environment. I'm saying write one thing and then repurpose the shit out of it everywhere. And if you have help, like a VA who could learn how to do this and take your stuff and chop it up, then you can think about putting it someplace else. Then you can think about having a blog and a YouTube channel and social media. Like, but if you're really, really just you, you've got to think about the most impactful place for your content to live.
No, it's so true. And, you know, believe it or not, I can't believe I reached this time in life without ever having a year at a glance wall calendar, but I have one. I need to get the next year's now. But what's so great about it is I could actually use your system immediately. Yes. Thinking about 2021 and all, listen up now, if you are jammed up in your content creation machinery because of the frustration and the overwhelm, think about this. If you do what Jen Liddy is saying, you only have to come up with 12 themes for the whole year.
Oh, the angel is singing.
12 topics for the whole year, and each topic has 4 subtopics. And that's a blog post, a YouTube video, a Facebook Live, a podcast episode, and then all the little spin-offs from that to keep it interesting, to keep it fun, to keep it lively, and then repurpose, 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 repurpose. Yeah. I think my blood pressure just dropped about 10 points.
I'm so happy that this is helpful.
This is awesome. Now, speaking of 2021, you referred to a membership. How soon is that going to be ready?
I have so much. Well, I'm a content creator, so I have so much content. I really just need to kind of get it into Kajabi, name it, put it out there, price it, and get going. And I'm so excited to be able to serve more women at a lower price point, because up until now, people have only been able to work with me privately or in a mastermind.
Exactly.
And this is just a way for me to serve more people so that they can really start to take action.
Do you have a wait list already?
I actually haven't even put it out there to anybody yet. So it will be...
It's still baking.
I haven't invited anybody to it yet. I do have a planner that your audience might like, the content creation planner. So basically what I taught today, it's in a planner form that they can download, and it's fillable. So they can just like write everything in there, their big topic, and then their four topics. There's models and examples, and then it teaches you how to repurpose your content too. So that might
I love this. I'm gonna grab this, and I'll tell you what, because I don't know exactly when this episode will air.
Right.
But if they sign up for your freebie, I'm sure you'll notify them 100%. When the membership is ready.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes. Thanks for letting me talk about the membership, because I'm super excited about it.
I'm super excited about it because, listen, I really, really appreciate that you are one of the people that I know in the online space who is very down to earth and very honest.
Thank you.
Because there's a lot of us have spent a great deal of money into five figures and beyond, running after this and that, and then still not being able to generate any income from their own business and blaming themselves. I love that you say it's a marathon, not a sprint, and that your business is all about how to make it easy and sustainable so that we can actually make some money, honey.
Yes, and have the time. The reason that we all get into this business of having our own business is we all want time and freedom and the ability to be creative, but we wind up doing the opposite to ourselves with like, oh my God, I have to write another blog post. No, just write one and repurpose it.
Are you hearing this, people?
Thank you for the opportunity to talk about all of this stuff. I love this topic. I'm obviously passionate about it. So thank you so much.
Oh, we're going to have you come back again. Will you do that?
Of course. Anytime.
Awesome. Oh, thank you so much, Jen. And, you heard it straight from the horse's mouth. Consistency in your content, and let's make it frustration-free, shall we?
Frustration-free content creation. I love it.
Love it.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye now.
Hey, it's Diane. Can I be honest with you? At the beginning of each new year, I always told myself, this is the year I'm going to get my habits dialed in. This is the year I'm going to be crystal clear about my goals, and I'm going to crush them. This is the year I'm going to get my shit together on every level, and I'm going to do it all by myself. Been there, done that, got a whole stack of t-shirts. But you know, it wasn't until I started working with my own coach that I realized what a difference it makes to have guidance, support, and accountability from someone who's not only like-minded, but like-brained. Yeah, I'm talking about another driven woman, entrepreneur, who also has ADHD and has got it going on. I have two openings in my signature one-on-one 12-week coaching program, and one of them might have your name on it. There's a link to a free consult with me in the show notes if you think this might be the year that you really get serious and go all in on an ADHD-friendly business and life. While you're thinking about that, have a listen to what one of my client's success stories has to say about the difference it made to work with me.
It's funny because at first I said I would never own my own practice. And now I own my own practice. And I would say, I'm never going to take it any more than just treating patients. Now I'm thinking about how can I start my own
institute.
Yeah, exactly. Even like training other therapists, having a certification with my name that I am, you know, I haven't thought of the name yet, but I'm certified in this technique or whatever the case may be. And really just helping other therapists help their patients the way I help mine.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.